Papa, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And again, tonight we ask for your forgiveness, your mercies and grace. And we repent for every stupid thing we've done that's offended you and prevented us from getting in your presence. We repent for touching pride in the things of this world that bring shame to your name and bring dishonor to you, Master. Forgive us for being disrespectful in any area, Lord. But restore to us our first love, you. You. Washing our spirit, soul, and body and flesh with the blood. Filling us with your spirit that we may be one. We admit we are nothing without you. Nothing. We have tried and failed every time. Tried and failed. Jesus. You said, call me, and you would answer us and show us great and mighty things. We come to bring you honor and respect tonight, Master. And gratefulness for what you've done. We've come to offer you our lives as a living sacrifice. Come. Take your rightful place, Holy Spirit. Open our eyes to see our dead. Our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive. Let the anointing and the power of your presence and your glory break every yoke of bondage here. Sever us from the entanglements and affairs of this world and the selfish ambitions, that we may be totally surrendered and yield to you. And we ask this, Papa, in the mighty name above all names, Jesus. And everybody said, hallelujah. Give somebody a hug and tell them this is your night. This is your night, Dad. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Yes, fill us and kill us. Isn't God good? All the time. All the time. You know, I'd say yes, there's a little cooperation. A little cooperation. A little cooperation with him, and he makes a way. Literally makes a way. Whew. Thank you, Master. Thank you. You know, we've been talking about mortifying the flesh and, you know, and the area of where we are in the world right now. And, you know, we've got to have the joy of the Lord. I mean, you got to have the joy of the Lord. Without the joy of the Lord, you're nothing. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and in his presence is fullness of joy. So not only do you have to have the joy of the Lord, you have to have his presence. And it's so wonderful to have his presence. Praise God. Yeah, so wonderful to have his presence. Because no matter what you're going through, you'll do it in fullness of joy. Other than that, people struggle and try to clean their mess up and fix their stuff and everything else. But in God's presence, we are surrendered and yield, and we say, okay, I quit. Hey, you know, because you get drunk. And you can't do a lot of things when you're drunk. You know. So you just stay drunk, and you feel good, and you want more. You know. See, there's nothing wrong with being addicted to his presence. We should be addicted to his presence. We should live for his, we should die for his presence. But the world dies for the flesh. But it's our responsibility to die to the flesh. Because the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Is willing. Would you turn to Matthew 3 for a moment, please? Matthew chapter 3. How's everybody tonight? Blessing what? Highly flavored? Praise God. You're seasoned. you get tenderized. It's like tenderizer. You get tenderized in the presence of God. So you become a sweet aroma. And if you notice, tonight's worship was honor to Him. Honor to Him. See, sometimes we got to come in His presence and not ask for nothing, but give everything. And Matthew 3 and verse 13, read it with me, please. And Jesus came to the Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by Him. And John tried to prevent Him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then He allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And you know, as believers, our goal and our heart's desire is to maintain an area where God is saying that He's pleased with us. You know why many believers are miserable? Because they're not pleasing God. But I'm telling you, if you know that you're pleasing God, and I'm not talking about pleasing yourself. I said pleasing God. And you know that He is saying, that's My daughter. That's My son, who I'm well pleased with. See, that should be every believer's ultimate desire. And it's not about what you're doing for God. It's whether you're pleasing Him or not. See, so many people think that going out and doing things for God is pleasing Him. And that's justification by works. But there's an area where it's not about works, it's about you're pleasing Him because of your respect and honor towards Him. See, there must be a place where not only your reverence, see, we call it the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, where we reverence Him, honor Him, and respect Him. But there's an area where there is so ultimate respect to Him that you live to please Him because you want to respect Him and honor Him in every area of your life. And there isn't anything greater than to know that you are pleasing Him. Not occasionally, not once in a while, not by what somebody says, but by what He says. See, there's things that He does to show you that you're pleasing Him. Just like a parent or someone who comes home with a gift, God releases gifts in our life. And I'm not talking about abundance and all the things you're praying for. I'm talking about things you haven't asked for. I'm talking about a surprise, that you get a surprise package and it says, you pleased me and this is yours. Hello. You pleased me and this is for you because you pleased me. In other words, we're not looking for the reward. We're just looking for knowing that we've pleased Him in every area. Again, this is such a time, and it's a time of intimacy. It's a time of surrender. It's a time of respecting Him in every area. Because if you can't respect Him, He can't respect you. See, but so many times believers are out asking for God, asking for this, asking for, in other words, they're asking for a reward without even giving respect. It doesn't happen. Now, He says He'll meet our needs according to His riches and glory, because He'll even meet the needs of the unrighteous, won't He? But there's an area where there's a relationship and intimacy where you know that you're pleasing Him. And one of the responses of you pleasing Him is His presence. That's the greatest gift that you can walk in, is in His presence. Because in His presence there's no struggle. In His presence there's freedom. In His presence there's not looking to your past or being worried about your present. In His presence is pure love, pure freedom, pure surrender, and pure trust in His presence. So what happens is you've been relinquished from every area of selfish strengths or strengths of the flesh. In that presence, there isn't anything greater than when He releases His presence. Where you could be in your bedroom sitting there and all of a sudden His presence shows up and slams you right off of your chair. Where all of a sudden you just fall to your knees and go, oh my God, my Father just showed up. He showed up without you asking. And He just shows up. You'd be driving down the road and all of a sudden He just shows up. And you just begin to weep and cry because of His love just pouring out to you. And telling you, I love you and you please me. That is the greatest place that we could be. We see here, God the Father introduces Jesus to His people and said, that's my Son, who I'm well pleased. See, He wants to introduce you to the world. That's my daughter, who I'm well pleased. That's my Son. Those are my kids, look at them. They please me. And because they please me, I pour out my presence on them, that they may know me. In Matthew 17. In verse 1. Matthew 17 and verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and He was transfigured before them. Now, do you think that He took Peter, James, and John because they displeased Him? No, because they what? Pleased Him. Hello. And He was transfigured before them. In other words, He revealed Himself to them. And His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with Him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If You wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for You, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Immediately, they wanted to do something. Okay, this is cool, man. There's 3 of them here. Let's build 3 tabernacles. See, immediately, they wanted to build something because what they knew was to put their presence into a box. So they wanted to put their presence in the box and maybe try to keep it, you know, and let it out every once in a while, you know. But that was the only way they knew about getting to God's presence, because of the tabernacle of the Old Testament. But Jesus was saying, no, you don't have to do that anymore. I wanted to show you a new thing. This is who I am. Because I am. And I want to show you that you no longer need to build a tabernacle for my presence. But I'm going to build a tabernacle for my presence. But it won't be with hands of man. I'm going to build my tabernacle with you. And I'm going to dwell in you and live with you. And then He goes on and He says, verse 5, while He was still speaking, behold, a what? Bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now He says, hear Him. What does He say? Hear Him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. Jesus who? alone. That's it, you and Him. In other words, personal. His presence, who He is. And in this, first of all, God honored His Son. He respected His Son, didn't He? And here He said, "This is My Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then in another event where Jesus is transfigured, He said, "This is My Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now I want you to hear Him." In other words, you saw Him. You saw who He is now. Now I want you to hear Him. Because it's important that you hear Him now. It's important that you truly follow Him. He's allowed Himself to be revealed to you. In other words, the Father was showing honor to the Son and respect to the Son. Has everybody got it? Why? Because Jesus did what? Pleased Him. Has everybody got this? Because Jesus did what? Pleased Him. Go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21 and verse 33. There is an area where there is spiritual respectfulness. And you know, many people respect those in the world because of money, power, so forth, position, which is worldly respectfulness and honor. The Bible says, honor your mother and father. That's according to God, isn't it? It says, respect one another, submit to one another, so forth. But there's an area where there is respect to God. And it is an area that's beyond the respect and honor according to the world's perception. And in this, there is relationship established. Because again, you live to please Him. That means you must live to honor Him. That means you live to respect Him, no matter what it is. And in Matthew 21 and verse 33, Jesus uses this parable. And it's a warning of things to come. He said, "Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner." Hallelujah, I can see tonight. Praise God. See, years ago, I would refuse to use my reading glasses. And one night I said, "And there was a lawnmower instead of a landowner." But anyway. "And there was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when the vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. And he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance.' So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? And they said to him, 'He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons.' And Jesus said to them, 'Have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is a marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on the stone will be broken, but whoever falls on it, it will grind him to powder.'" Wow. In other words, whoever it falls on. Does everybody see that? So there's going to be a stumbling. There's going to be a stone, he talks about, because you've not showed him honor or respect. Some will be humbled, the ones that they will fall on the stone. And if they're not willing to fall on the stone and become humble, the stone will fall on them and turn them to powder. And in this, this is a warning. It is an end time parable. that he says, many who will not respect me and honor me, them I will reject. And even in these days right now, in these last days that we're in right now, there is not a real lot of respect to the Lord. Even in the body of Christ, they have a form of respect, but the heart is not right. They believe that they can show respect to God by their works, but he's not looking for your works of respect. He's looking for your heart of respect. And there is a difference. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? Verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Would you read it with me, please? But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Are we in perilous times? Are we in the last days? For men will be lovers of what? Themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. In other words, they do not respect the Lord. The only thing they do is dishonor him and disrespect him, even though they have a form of godliness. For this sort are those who creep into households and ministries and make captives of gullible men and women and children and load them down with sins, led away by various lusts. They are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further. For their folly will be manifested to all, as there also was. So we see here that there's going to be a time in these last days where there'll be false humility. Has everybody got it? They'll have a form of godliness. There will be a false humility. It will just be a show. It will be a show, but they're really not respecting the Lord. They're disrespecting him. Does everybody understand that? And it is great out there right now. It is great. I mean, look at the level of disrespect in the area of even in the media. I mean, you know, people would never talk about people like that. I mean, they just degrade. Nobody would ever talk about the president like that at one time. Hello? No, I'm not saying he deserves respect, but hallelujah. But we honor his position. Now, you might not like the man, but you honor the position. You might not like the person, but you honor the position. So we are to show respect to the position, regardless of what. Now, it doesn't mean that if you're living with an abusive spouse, you're supposed to respect them. Sorry. Hello. Get out of it. It's amazing in how many people. I mean, I talk to people who come for counsel, and they be telling me, yeah, man, yeah, well, I've gone to counsel, and I've gotten Christian counsel, and they told me stay there. And tell me, yeah, well, have your counsel go live with them then. I mean, there is just some stupid counseling going on out there, man. Yeah, submit to your husband, submit to your wives, and go ahead and stay there and get beat up. That is just plumb stupid. That is false. Does everybody understand that? That is disrespect, not respect. Your submission should be to that which is respectful, not disrespectful. And we're seeing much of this disrespectfulness through this, especially in this country, but it's globally. There's more and more disrespect and dishonor than ever before. It's because evil is reaching such a level of no fear of God, no reverence. It is reaching such a level that the only thing they're looking at is survival and self-pleasing. You know, when you and I gave our life to Jesus, we gave our life. You didn't get a life, you gave it. The only life that you've got now is His life. And in that, what we want to do is live a respectful life. And the only way that you're going to live a respectful life is if you live in a life that is respecting and honoring Him. See, so many people can't respect something they can't see. But if you're in the Spirit, you can see. Because faith is not walking blindness. It's walking in spiritual sight. You are able to see Him. You're able to sense Him. You're able to touch Him. And He's able to touch you. Even when you get convicted, He's touching you. You might feel a slap in the back of the head once in a while. He's touching you. But He convicts us, He chastens us, because He loves us. Go to Titus chapter 1. Titus 1 and verse 10. Would you read it with me? For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, says, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true, therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. It says, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Why? Because they do not show the Lord honor and respect. Does everybody see this? They disqualify. They say, oh, I know the Lord, but they dishonor Him. Why? Because their motives are incorrect. And manipulation. In other words, they try to use God to get gain. So they have a form of godliness. Many individuals misuse God in the area of going to try to get materialism. He says, that's why He says, you have not because you ask not. Why? Because you ask wrong, because you spend it on your pleasures. Believe me, you know, there are many people who aren't married and they become spouse hunters instead of God hunters. If you'll keep God first, God will bring everything to you. Hello. I know people that, I remember people talk to me, yeah, man, I'm going to church tonight. Oh, really? Praise God, it's a good service? Well, there's a lot of Christian women there. Come out. You don't go to service to look for women. You don't go to service to look for men. You let God build a house. Hello. That is disrespectful. Has everybody got it? It is disrespectful to the Lord. And what we don't want is to disrespect Him, do we? We want God to build a house. We don't want to be disqualified, do we? Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 48. Would you read it with me, please? Then the Jews answered and said to Him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, But I honor my father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. And the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. I love the way he spoke there. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. How have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Wisdom. But they dishonored him, didn't they? They disrespected him, because right before their eyes, God Almighty had come in the natural realm, and they couldn't see him because they were blinded. And they were blinded by pride, because pride blinds you. They could not see, and they disrespected him. There was a false humility, wasn't there? And of course, obviously they were disqualified, weren't they? In John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Why? Because he honored and respected his Father. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So here he is, Jesus is saying, listen, I am now the judge. And I'm going to judge everyone who disrespects me. And I'll reward everyone who does respect me. Honor and respect. Does everybody see this? In other words, again, we go back to that other parable where in these last days there's so much dishonor, there's so much disrespect in every area. Everybody has a form of godliness in some way, even people who don't believe. They have their own little rituals, you know. There's New Age movements, there's false religions, there's all kinds of things in this form of godliness, but there's only one that we're supposed to honor and respect, and his name is Jesus. Anything else, they will be judged. Is everybody okay? Luke 17. Luke 17. And verse 11. Would you read it, please? Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So he saw them and he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Only one turned. Only one. Only one was willing to give him the honor and respect due because of what he has done. And fell down at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? In other words, even his own did not turn around to give him glory, but a foreigner did. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You know, in this, so many times, what God has done for us, and to turn around and giving him glory and respect. Just because of what he has done, we should live a life of respect to him and not dishonor. Just because of what he has done, just because he called us, he salvaged us, he rescued us. It isn't anything about what you can do for him. The whole thing is just turning around and saying, hallelujah! Thank you! Thank you! I will give you glory. I will respect you. I will honor you. I will serve you because of what you've done. See, it may start off at what he has done, but it'll end up of who he is. And there is a difference. See, salvation is the beginning. It isn't the end. It is just the beginning. Go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. What does he say? Hypocrites. Hypocrites. They must come from the tribe of Hippocrates. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as the doctrines of the commandments of men. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles him. So I want you to look at this in this arena here. Let's go. Well, I just want to go a couple more scriptures. But he's saying there's many who come and approach me, but I know their heart. They actually disrespect me because they don't approach me with their heart. They approach him with their mouth, but not with their heart, and is disrespectful. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But Jesus answered and said, every plant which my Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. And what was blinding them? Pride. Pride. Because they were not willing to give him the total honor and respect of worship. They worshiped him with their lips, but their heart was far off somewhere else. Go to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Do you notice that when you start worshiping, you got to pull your heart in, don't you? You got to pull it in. You got to make yourself worship him. You got to pull your thoughts in and cast thoughts down. You got to fight. You got to call on Him. You got to fight to look to Him. You know what? He respects that. Because He sees that you are honoring and respecting Him because you're fighting for His presence. And the other thing you're fighting to do is to please Him. In Psalm 40, is everybody there? Glory. Start at verse 1. What does it say? I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. But blessed is the man who what? Makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. In other words, blessed is that man who doesn't respect the proud. In other words, give honor, give glory. Has everybody got that? Again, I want you to understand that many people, I'm telling you, you turn on the TV and all these wicked, wealthy individuals are being honored and respected. But don't you hear anything about Jesus being respected and honored, especially on secular TV? Except for once in a while, a football player who's playing football and scores, some of them will give glory to God, won't they? Or tennis players, or some of them will give glory to God, won't they? Whatever kind of sport that's out. Some of them will take that opportunity and respect the Lord because of what He has done. In other words, they're not taking their talents because they work for their talents. They're taking their talents knowing their talents came from Him, and they're giving them back to Him in honor and respect. In front of national TV, they're respecting Him. You don't think that gives honor to the Lord? Of course it does. See, many people are fighting for their talents instead of fighting for the presence of God. Where God has granted these talents to use to bring glory to His name instead of glory to self. In Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. Is everybody there? Malachi chapter 1. Let's start at verse 5. Would you read it with me? Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am my master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offered defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. In other words, they were giving him offering, but not pure offering. And it was disrespectful, wasn't it? Wasn't there disrespect between Cain and Abel? In the area where the one offered his first fruit of blood, and the other one offered the first fruit of vegetables and fruit. Let's go there. Let's go to Genesis. I love that one. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve, verse 1, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, in other words, if you do what pleases me, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin, or the presence of evil, lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Oh, hallelujah. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And in this, the Lord accepted the one offering and rejected the other one, because it was given out of disrespect, because he knew what he was supposed to do to offer to please him. God showed Adam and Eve in the garden when he killed an animal. And he said, this is what pleases me as an offering. And in this, so many people come to the Lord and try to give God an offering. In other words, now this may sound strange, even in tithes and offerings. I mean, I get checks that are $14.23. You know, you could round it off to 15 bucks. I think that's a disrespectful offering, to be honest with you. Because the person is still caught up in self. Do you understand that? They're not giving God that offering. I mean, and an offering is not tithing. It's different. Tithing is a command. Offering is beyond that. You're not giving until you're done with your tithing, and then you start giving. But it's amazing on the area where, let me just share this with you. The Bible tells us where we're getting fed is where we're to do tithes and offerings. In other words, bring it to the storehouse. That's the place where you're getting fed. It's amazing on how many people will go to a church or belong to multiple churches and only give to one. Well, you may say, well, that's kind of strange if they keep coming, if they go to, no, it's called disrespect. Why is it disrespectful? Because if God has given you something, shouldn't you give something back? Does everybody got it? You know, there are people who give more to the evangelists on TV than they give to the storehouse and the church they go to. It's incredible. And it's disrespectful to the Lord. And in this, we're not giving to receive, are you understanding? We're giving because we're giving thanks. We're saying, Lord, thank you. Any service I go to at any time, I'm always ready to give. Now, if it's a chump service, I'm leaving. Unless the Lord tells me I gotta give, then I will give happy. Because I'm giving unto him. Are you understanding? Hello. But I will not give to a place where I go to that says, okay, everybody who is not given $100, stand up. I'm out of there. That is disrespectful to my Father. It's amazing to me. And then people still go back there. I know there's 50,000 people out here. I can give $1,000. Praise God, there probably is. Not maybe 50,000. And anyone who's not given $1,000, stand up. See, the Bible tells us to do things in secretly, and God will reward you openly. Anything beyond that is disrespectful. There must be honor and respect and divine order in the body of Christ also. And I believe that things have been thrown off course. Now it's about building buildings and about building this, and it's about building this church and about building that church. And now they're so concerned about building instead of rescuing. You know, we spend more time dealing with the body of Christ instead of going out and rescuing souls. And it's because of the foolishness in the body of Christ in many areas. And the disrespectfulness to the Lord. And God's going to want His honor. He's going to want His respect. And He's going to want His reverence. And it's our responsibility to give it to Him. And we do that even by doing things in divine order. See, an individual that cannot respect the Lord cannot do things in divine order. Because divine order brings respect to God. Are you all right? Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. So we'll be passing a garbage can around here tonight. And if you don't put in a minimum... I'm out of here. You with the red sneakers. How much did you put in? Man, I went to a service one time, and I'm telling you, the guy that was sitting next to the pastor was basically pointing at me because I would not stand up. And it's a well-known place. And I'm not going to mention the place. But I felt the grieving of the Holy Spirit so badly in there. So badly. And I haven't been back. And I won't go back. But it was a totally disrespectful to my father. Totally disrespectful. Money, the love of money is the root of all evil, isn't it? 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's start at verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle in both of which I stir you up. Stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. How many of y'all know we need to get reminded? That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. Saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue. Also, they were from the beginning of creation. You know, did you ever share something with another believer and say, you know, don't you sense the Lord coming real soon? And they turn around and say, oh, they've been saying that for years. Well, you know, they ain't right. They ain't in the spirit, man. They're gone. That's when you pull out the anointed Holy Ghost baseball bat. Wake up! For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Now I want to share something with you which is very important. Because the first area of respect to the Lord is repentance. The first area of respect to the Lord is repentance. Why? Because when you blow it, you better repent. Why? Because you're respecting Him. It's amazing how individuals will justify their ungodliness. It's because they have no respect for Him. And they linger for days and days and days until finally they come to repentance. It's unfortunate. Now they've got to reap all that period of time. So the first form of respect is repentance. And the second one is thanksgiving and gratefulness. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Is everybody there? In verse 15. Would you read it with me? See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Why are they evil? Because there's much disrespect to the Lord. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with what? The Spirit. Yes. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another in the fear of God. In other words, in this you are showing respect to Him of being thankful and becoming a worshiper. A worshiper. God honors a worshiper. Why? Because a worshiper shows the highest level of respect to the Lord. It is the highest level of respect that you can give to God, is to become a worshiper. Has everybody got it? But it starts with repentance, doesn't it? Then it goes to thanksgiving and gratefulness. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. The other area that we show respect is by obedience and submission. Isaiah chapter 1. Is everybody there? Verse 16. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16. Would you read it with me, please? Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, and cease to do evil. Learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, and plead what? For the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So the third area of respect is obedience and submission. That's why the Bible says submit to one another in the fear of God. The fourth one is how you respond. How you respond. Usually how you respond with words. How you respond. And the Bible tells us that we're all in the image and likeness of Christ, right? So in that, we must respond in a certain way to each other. Now sometimes there needs to be a rebuke. The Bible says rebuke. Why? In hope and correction. What are you doing, you bonehead? No? But there's got to be a response, not of hatred. There's got to be a response out of love. Correction. Because you're chastening or correcting your own children in response to rescue them because you love them. Our children should be raised to learn how to respect. That's why the Bible says, honor your mother and father, respect them. Respect those. The Bible warns us about how people speaking evil of dignitaries, people in position. And it's because they don't understand. Many people speak evil of things they don't understand. And it's disrespect to the Lord because God created it. Is everybody okay? Go to Proverbs 12. Be careful in how you respond. And how you deliver the response will either show disrespect or respect. And Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Is everybody there? And verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. This is next. I want to read this next verse here. The righteous should choose his friends carefully.
Hello.
For the way of the wicked leads them astray. See, let me share with you this, that if you're choosing your friends correctly, you're bringing respect and honor to him. That's why the Bible says depart from evil. Because the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. You know, many people hang around with people just because of who they might be, even though they disrespect God. That's the wrong motive and the wrong way and the wrong friends. Is everybody okay? Go to Proverbs 15:23. Let's go to verse 20 first. It says, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Why? No respect? But a wise son will respect. In verse 23, a man is joyed by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Yeah. See, depending on how you deliver the word is important. There's nothing wrong with correcting someone or rebuking them, but make sure you do it in honor and respect to your father. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And this is the fifth one. One of the ways we can show respect to God is by what we give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6. But this I say, who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a what? Cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberally, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of the service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of their confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I want to go to one other place. Revelation 12. Then I heard, in verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. In other words, you are giving of your life. You give of your life in this. In other words, you are loving your life to death. You no longer have a life. You've exchanged it. You've accepted the life of Christ. In these six areas is an area where you are able to show respect to God. In Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 25. Hebrews 12:25. Would you read it with me, please? See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving the kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And I want to close at Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Is everybody there? Good. I'll start at verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience or disrespect, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? That we should what? Walk in them, keeping reverence to him in every area. I want one more scripture. Philippians. Yes. Philippians chapter 2. Flip it to chapter 2. And verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But what? But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in an appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In other words, he's going to get the respect one way or another. No matter what. My dad has the last say. He's going to get the respect and the honor. Everyone will bow before him and respect and honor him. Why wait till then? Show him the respect now and maintain the respect and honor to the Lord, that he may say, this is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, in any area again where we have disrespected you, we ask for your forgiveness. Restore to us our first love, who is you, and free us from those entanglements that would cause dishonor to you and to your temple. Allow the seed to grow and bear fruit for your glory, protected by the blood, and to continue to establish your kingdom in us and through us. Bring revival and unity in the body of Christ. Melt the walls of denominations. And let the fear of the Lord continue to grow, that you would be glorified in everything we do, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.